Number one, you take a sefer Torah that's still clean. You look at the letters. So sometimes when it's a human being writing it, some lamed will be a little thicker, a little thinner.
These are all the same.
Every lamed is the same right away.
But why is that? If it began with the human.
That's what you're right.
It began with the human.
The second thing he would look for, he says, is corrections. Every sefer Torah.
That's correction from this wouldn't happen.
He checks the whole sefer Torah with no corrections.
I want to talk with you in my office on something. I want you to check something out for me. You'll understand, but very, very important. Okay? Don't forget. I know you have to get back to a chavrita, but this for today is more important.
Chavrita is right here.
Very good. So you can bring the chavrita with you. It's no secrets outside of the family. Us. Okay. First of all, let's see how we can begin. Today is December 22nd, 2019. We're grinding to a halt this year, today, tomorrow. Yitzchak is probably wants to say to me, Rebbe, you said you're going to talk about Rabbi Rachman. All you're doing is talking about the Rav. I want to tell Yitzchak, I will tie it together with a beautiful bow.
Yeah. I said, you could not have done a better intro.
I'm not finished yet. You'll see what I'm doing. And I have to admit, I never wanted to give these shayrim years ago because I love Rabbi Rachman and the Rav is my Rebbe. You know, my whole life is the Rav. You understand what I'm saying? But it's time, at my age. Right, it's time to explain it in depth. And it's,
except for David Holland, no one would ever dare tell Rabbi Rachman.
Beseder, you'll see Rabbi Rachman speaking himself about that. But let it rest till we get there. But I have more to do, and then I come into Rabbi Rachman, word by word, Rabbi Rachman, just like I'm the Rav word by word, you'll see what I have. So Bezrat Hashem, I'll tie it all together. Maybe you said to me when I announced the OU lecture, what does the Rav have to do, in other words, the Hashkaf of the Rav, the outlook of the Rav, with all the different students in the picture? And remember I told you I'll tie it together at that lecture, Baruch Hashem, I tied it together. That lecture was too good because I've gotten too many people that bothered me to lecture here, there. If they want to come, let them come like Ellie made the effort to come now, they can come to this classroom. Okay, I have to tell you in advance, very, very interesting material. First of all, I just want to mention that, and this is available, whoever wants it downstairs, there's a big pile of both. So if you want copies, just go in to Sherry's office and they're piled up. So this is the latest YU Torah to Go, and it's a very fine issue. One of the articles, Rabbi Mordechai Becha, I don't know who that is, but he's a Magid Shir JSS, Yeshiva University, Senior Lecturer Gateways, that's Kiruv, Shabbos Invitations.
It's all your class.
And, right, it's amazing. I couldn't believe I hit a topic. I'm following Reb Menashe Klein, and I got involved with the topic. I don't know if I was the first, but it's a floodgate. How many other people now are dealing with the issue? And they all wind up the same way. I have to tell you, I'm not happy, but ain't very rare. In other words, they all show you, Rabbi Yashiv says, you don't trade Yiddishkeit. You don't trade Shabbos for Kiruv. Shabbos is Shabbos, Kiruv is Kiruv. Rabbi Meisha, Meisha Sumediach, he quotes it. But Halacha L'Maisa, Rabbi Meisha Sternbuch, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Baron Lichtenstein, Rabbi Asher Weiss, Yeshal Milismoch. I also want to mention that there's a very nice article here on Kiruv, and I learned a lot. In other words, they're explaining the new generation. They called it, what do they call it? The what's the word they use for anyone born in after 1990? The Generation Z. Why do they call it Generation Z? What does that mean? What does it mean?
That's post-2000.
But why Z? Where does Z come in? Generation Z. So, I learned something very interesting, that this generation, you see, in my time outreach, you gave a good shiur, you gave a good lecture, the audience went crazy. People walked out of the Rav Shiurim in tears. I remember riding home on the 36 bus at 12 midnight with the snow coming down, and the outside shiur had just ended. It was the Rav in his prime in the mid-50s, a 5-hour shiur, 4.5-hour shiur. I mean, how the man had that energy, even as a youngster. Unbelievable. And I remember people saying it was like Maimed Har Sinai. With the Z generation, I mean, it's like it's a computer. You have to go website to website. Quick. You got to catch them. They don't have time. What, they're going to listen to a 2-hour shiur? The computer, everything is there. Quick, sign, good. Movies, this, talk, this. So it's very interesting how in order to reach them, the whole method has to be different. I found that very interesting. And I also want to add HaMizrahi, which is also available. It just came out now. That's very nice. They're trying to resuscitate Mizrahi. So I have Divrei Torah from very famous people. I apologize. People ask me to write, but at my stage in life, if anyone wants to hear me, they can come to Gris. I have to keep myself within limits. Simply, you don't have the energy to run all over and do 1,000 things anymore. So, Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing well for my age. But they have Reb Heschel Shachter here. So, I don't know if you heard my Divrei Torah Thursday night. There was a reunion of the MTA class of 69, those living in Israel. So, I ended off, I spoke, and whatever. So I spoke, I'm sure you heard this from me over the decades. If you heard it and know it, stop me, we shouldn't waste time. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we went to a Fabrein and a whole group of kids from YU. It had to be the mid-50s. And the Rebbe said, and evidently someone whispered to the Rebbe, there are a bunch of wise guys here from Yeshiva University. So the Rebbe, in his talk, suddenly turns to us, and we could swear he was talking just to us. You follow me, Ellie? That was the greatness of the Rebbe. And he turns to us, we think, and he says, I thank God as the Maccabim have nishkiven litayim mitnagdim. Thank God the Maccabim would not mitnagdim. So, and then he explained that if the mitnagdim went in to the temple, they would have made a cheshbon. We only have one cruse of oil. It's going to take another week to get, you know, the Ram says 3 days to go to the Galil, 3 days to come back, 1 day is Shabbos. So they would have said, there's a halacha when you light the menorah, it has to be complete. It has to go on. It has to be continuous. And so if you're going to light it, it's going to go out. Onis rachmana patre. God forgives you if it's an accident. We're not going to light. We're going to wait. We have to be logical. We'll lighten 7 days from now when we get the oil. No, if the Maccabim had been the Litvakin, there would have never been an Eis Chanukah. We wouldn't be lighting candles tonight. Thank God there were Chassidim, Mitzvah HaBaliot Chal Tach Mitzena, and they lit and we have the miracle. When you read Reb Heschel's article, you'll see how right the Rebbe was. He comes up here that they could have lit the shemen, there was no problem, even if they found shemen tamei, it didn't need a miracle, they could light shemen tamei, there was no gezeira yet, there was no gezeira in the Migdash, you'll see the article. So when it's interesting what he says, he ties it into Eliyahu, you'll see. But when I saw it, I thought to myself, boy, was the Lubavitcher Rebbe right. The Litvakin can come up with a pupil, with a lumdus, and you're finished. All right, after class, I want to add your name to the list and give you a gift. If you're coming, I have to bribe students to come to my class, mm-hmm. So I give everyone a gift. You understand? If they come, the Rebbe has to pay up. There's another class here, they get money. I don't, that much I can't do. They get money for coming, but at least the safe I can give you. All right. Now, correspondence, and I had a lot of nachat barisha kibanti ledat gedolim. This is a Talmud of mine from the Kollel many years ago, a fine Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, Reb Moshe Erlbaum from Kew Gardens Hills. So, dear Rebbe, Shavua Tov, 3 points on the Pesh Sheyurim. One, as far as lighting on Yom Tov Sheni, listen to this. Rabbi Mordechai Kernley gave a Yahrzeit Shir in 1987 for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe died in 86, right? This is 87, where he discussed Hadlokat Ner Shabbos. In the name of Rav Moshe, he stated it's better to light the electric lights at the same time that the candles are lit, but also suggested that the woman, by lighting candles, despite the electric lights, have established a new minhag in accordance with the Rambam Hilchot Shabbos. The Rambam there lists Ner Shabbos as a kiyum and covered Shabbos. In other words, candles are not just about lights, but to add an ambience of covered to the Shabbos as a suda. In that case, they have a purpose in Yantip as well. Note, what is he saying? Ariyem, let me explain. A Rambam. I quoted this Rambam in passing, but I didn't stop to give you the source, and I said it kaplap. Now I say, as Mechavan to Reb Mordechai Tendler, all right. Perik Lamed Hilchot Shabbos Halacha Hay. And the Rambam Paskin is Erev Shabbos, Masad Adam Shukhani. By now, what the Rambam is Paskin, you just don't fall into Shabbos without preparation. Shabbos Hamalka is coming, so you have to get ready. And the Masad Shukhano, and you get the table ready, and you, Letaken Beito Mi Be'od Yom, Vibnei Kavod Shabbat. And you have to get the house ready before Shabbat. I don't have to tell you, I always tell people, keep a Shabbos list, an Erev Shabbos list, check it off, because Rube Goldberg's rule, when anything goes wrong, it goes wrong on Friday. And I can tell you stories over the last 80 years that I know what Shabbos is, how many times things went haywire on Friday, and you must keep a list to check, be for licht benching to see that the house is ready. All right. And then the Rambam goes on, V'yiyeh nedaluk v'shulchan aruch u'mita mutzad shel kol elu l'chvod Shabbat heim. And yes, in those years, you lived in one room, have the table ready, have the bed ready, but have a candle burning. So you see that the candle, it's not just for light, it's the ambience, it's different, it's Shabbos. I don't have to tell you, the house is not the same if you don't have candles. So you see, if that's the case, then the candle serves a purpose on Yom Tov Sheni too. It's part of the ambience. It's no different, for instance, the whole question, can you heat spices on Yom Tov to give the house a nice smell? All right, it's an interesting topic. And the whole purpose is it adds to the ambience. Same thing with candles. So what my Talmud, my dear Talmud, Rav Moshe said, I have to say, it makes a lot of sense. As to a hotel, Rabbi Tendler told me to light two flashlights in the room with a bracha and use them a little. In other words, use the flashlights to read something and not to light downstairs for the reasons you stated. Having 100+ tea lights does not add light or covered. Rabbi Moshe was uncomfortable to have a bracha set on lights that are dependent upon the electric company, but a bracha on a flashlight was permitted. So that's essentially the same thing like the Tzomet invention, except the Tzomet invention is beautiful. It's L'Kavod Shabbos. I saw it advertised again in the weekend papers. But we're all on the same path now. I am very happy because I always told you, I quote the Rav. I have this in my work on the Rav where Rebbe said, if you say something, a chiddush, learning, lumdis, and you find some other person said it, a gadol b'teira, you know you're going on the right path. And the Rev quoted his great-grandfather on that. He quoted the Beit HaLevi. So Baruch Hashem. The only thing I disagree with, if they do light candles downstairs, I would go downstairs and light candles too. Because Minig Yisrael is to light candles. You can make the bracha on the flashlight, come upstairs, make it on the flashlight, but light candles as well. Finally, again, Reb Moshe, this is what I told you, this psak, this Reb Moshe Feinstein now, that in a bungalow colony, or when there's only one minion, Reb Moshe felt if they were only doing it during the summer, it's for convenience. And since it's for convenience, it doesn't obligate anyone else. But if it's all year, and this is the minig of that community, then ein hachinami, it obligates you. All right, now let me pick off where I ended off. And again, we're going to spend a nice few weeks yet. There are three nice tshuvot of Reb Menashe Klein. They're going to bring up Reb Moshe. But I want to go shlab, step by step. And I want to pick up where we left off last week and answer a question, a beautiful question that I received. And I did my research. Okay, so the Mishnah Halachat is being asked, can you make Kiddush v'Havdalah on other types of liquid? I gave you the whole introduction, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the truth is you can check out the sources, you can do a doctorate on this topic. There's a world of material. Halacha l'may, and every step of the way, there's machloiket, this is the beauty, and all concepts that are not the oraita, black and white clear. We all think differently, and this is the beauty of Torah to me. The first Mishnah, I've told you so many times, the first Mishnah, you take a look, Scotty, three different opinions. And I can tell you two other opinions. When I taught this Mishnah to students years ago, young students, high school kids, so Habo b'meitam nishta. So the kids, I would always say, what does it mean, Beit HaMishnah? They're coming back from a Sheva Brachas. This is the concept of a Mishnah. But you guys probably hold wild ideas. It's with Central girls. You got together Saturday night. You understand it's MTA boys, Central, BTA. It was a different world then. I said, no, I differ with you. When I came to Beit HaMishnah, we had one concept of Beit HaMishnah, Sheva Brachas. So you see, there are three different opinions there. And, alright, we paskin, there's a shlachila, there's a b'dievid, Elliot, you gotta take off a few years and just listen to my shurim in the Sunday class. I spent 2 years on the Kuntras Hashach and had a paskin, Reish Mem Bet Yeridaya. It's the heart of understanding psak. Okay? A lot of my Litva Shereshi Yeshiva couldn't give those shurim. On that level I achieved a little, I don't wanna say more, but I achieved a little bit different than they did. But this is the beauty of Yiddishkeit. This is why when you tell people there's one way to go, it's not right. That's not Torah. I just dealt with a student Friday night. I was a guest of their students to my 40 years ago, more than 40. His wife at Sadeket, and he became black. His poor wife is suffering. She, at the age of her parents, came here when she was in seventh grade. She went to Chorev. And they're going back to America after the year, and she held on to a tree. I heard the story many times, but I heard it again. So I held on to a tree. I'm not going back to America. I refuse. You taught us to love Israel, and here we are. Anyway, the whole family came back a year later and settled here. So her husband went black. Her husband went black. So I told her, you gotta respect him. The kids, Baruch Hashem, are all religious Zionists. They've all served in the army. One lower who was injured, Mitzione, what the Rebbe used to say, not Mitzuei Tzahal, but Mitzione Tzahal. I have it also in my family, you all know that. So, we've paid our price. But, alright, he wants to be black, but I told him, when it comes to Hallel, you don't say Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. That's a sign you're a kofar b'ikar. You don't believe in God. That this country goes on with its politicians, with no government, with Haaretz, with Yediot, with the schmutz that goes on. And take a look, L'kavod L'tiferet. There has to be rebunshals. I gave him, I said, I'll give you an etza, whole machlokes on say Hallel. You say the nomal afan of Shira Hadasha. And then you say, Hallel, it's Zukei Tehillim. What's wrong? No one in the world can object. So you see the differences of opinion. How that's Torah, in my humble opinion. And I'm happy to have a student. He went black, this one went white, this one went yellow, this one went gray. But as long as they show him a Torah and mitzvah, I'm the happiest guy alive. Now, when it comes to halacha, I'm summarizing, there's no question, wine conquers all. Wine is the most important. Kiddush Friday night, Kiddush Shabbos morning, Havdalah. If you don't have wine, bread is number two. But bread cannot be used for Havdalah. For Havdalah, second in importance is Sheikha, Chamar Medina. Whatever that means, we have a long way to go till we define it. And we have to have patience because we have other tshuva coming up, soda, and all that goes with it. But That comes, Havdalah is number two, for Kiddush it's number three. It could even be b'di'evit, if you have nothing, you can make Kiddush over holding a cup of beer in your hand. Yesham mila smoch b'di'evit. Now, we ended off last week's shiur, and this is in Reb Menashe Klein, and all the sources are in the tshuva I'm quoting, Chelik Yudchet, Simen Kufan Zayin. We ended off that, what about Papa Babakinson, devil dogs, ringdings, you're traveling through Russia? No, for me this is halacha l'maisa. If I go back in my time machine, Yitzchak, we know what it was like in Russia. You have no idea, the Russians have no idea today. The kids go, I was just in Russia a year and a half ago, again, to see everything going on, and I met students there from Shvut Ami, who told me they want to go to North Korea. I said, what are you, crazy? They said, we want to see what communism was like. Could you imagine? You see, they can go. They have a Russian passport. I can't go to North Korea. They can go to North Korea. I said, go to Cuba better. Cuba will tell you what communism was like after Khrushchev. Before Khrushchev, go to North Korea. But I wouldn't risk my life today going to North Korea. But here you are traveling through Russia, so Pasa Babakinson, it shows you, b'diavad, you can make Kiddush holding two ringdings in your hand, holding two devil dogs in your hand. And believe me, wow, that's a Shabbos meal. Okay, but now I got a simple question. Pasa Babakinson, that we all say, that you eat too much of cake, you have to wash, it becomes like bread, right or wrong? What is the shear? What is the shear? Fascinating question. Nu, have you ever dealt with this? I'll give you the sources. I did my research. It's time to see really what's going on here. Look into the halacha, Orechayim, Siman Kuf Samet Chet, Sif Katan Vav. And this is the Mechaber. Pat Hababe Kinsen Mavareichola Vorep Mvri Minei Mezonot. Uli Acharov Bracha Achat Mein Shalosh. V'yim ochal mimenu sheyu sha'cherem regilim likbo alav. And if he ate a shear that the world generally considers a meal, hamotzi ubirkat hamazon. No, again, I have to ask, what do you mean? The world generally considers a meal? This is a question open to discussion. I have to admit, I eat less. I have to watch my weight today, eating a lot less than I would eat 20 years ago. You're older, the whole system slows down, the metabolism, etc. A young kid, I remember there was an expression in my youth, as min machta kiddush, a yeshiva bachavet al mol zayn dotten, that if a kiddush is there, a yeshiva boy will always be there at the kiddush. Alright? When I have a rule, when I'm in America and I have to speak and blah blah, what goes on, and then afterwards a big kiddush, I don't know, how can I eat at the kiddush if a half hour from now I'm going to have a fabulous meal? I don't go out to the kiddush. What I do, if I can, before I speak, I sneak a drop of grape juice with a piece of cake so I can hold a cup of water in front of me when I'm speaking. But what do you mean? People consider it a meal? So look into the Mishnah Brura, v'she'ur sa'uda kushalosh or arba beitzim. What is considered a meal? Pat habarbekinsin, three or four eggs. That's the size it has to be. Alright, fine, three or four eggs. So now I want to ask a different question. Pat habarbekinsin, three or four eggs. What do we mean by three or four eggs? How much is it? And here I have to say, I was born before my time. I went into the Beis Medrash, took out a Mishnah Brura with unbelievable explanations for each page of the Mishnah Brura, a full page of sources. And I look in and I take a look. Here's a whole discussion. What are 3-4 eggs? And they quote various opinions. And then they quote Hagon Reb Chaim Na'eh, Yesh L'Shayir She'ur Arba Beitzim, 230 grim. Now, who is Reb Chaim Na'eh? They quote other opinions, 200, more than 230, the Chazon Ish, they quote the Stipler Rav, Reb Yaakov Yisrael Kanyevsky, Reb Chaim's father. But Reb Chaim Na'eh, Yerushalmi, these were people who call HaTorah Kula. If I'm not mistaken, he was alive when I came in Aliyah, I'm quite certain. It's a well-known family. He was considered a gom in mathematics. And when it comes to Sheyurim, ultimately, he is the dominant figure. 230 gram. I asked Yomo, go onto the computer, give me the ounces. 8.11 ounces. In other words, slightly more than a half a pound. So now I want to ask you, how many ringdings would that be? What is a ringding? Is it 50 gram?
It's a lot of ringdings.
It's before four good ringdings with drinks and all. A little, wow. Imagine traveling through Russia and Friday night having a meal of four ringdings you brought from America. Yotze Kiddush, Yotze Motzi, Birchat HaMazon, four ringdings. Now, how does that translate further? And let me introduce you to a sefer. Let me introduce you to a family. How many of you are, again, it's going to divide up into class. The Z generation will know what I'm talking about, and anyone before 2000 will know exactly. When we toured Israel back in 68, the first time I was ever here as a tourist due to Mr. Gris, my salary doubled overnight, reached Washington. No one believes the story today. That's why I published the letter from Mr. Gris to Mr. Gris. If you look at the appendix, you'll see the letter. I didn't make it up. So my salary doubled. We visited Israel. One of the places we visited was the Mandelbaum Gate. No, who heard of the Mandelbaum Gate? Raise your hand. What was the Mandelbaum Gate? That was where you crossed over from West Jerusalem to East Jerusalem, from Israel to Jordan. Why was it called the Mandelbaum Gate? Because one of the Yotzei Chalotzav of the Talmidei Hagra built a beautiful house. He was a well-to-do businessman, and that was the Mandelbaum Gate. Believe it or not, when Reb Chaim Berlin 18 was built 50 years ago, and the first 16 families moved in. Among them was a kid named Donnie Rothkopf with his wife and children. Among them were many famous rabbis, and among them was Dr. Moshe Mandelbaum, who grew up in the Mandelbaum house. He was one of a number of children. He had a brother, Simcha Mandelbaum, lived down the block. Moshe Mandelbaum and Simcha Mandelbaum conquered Israel. Moshe Mandelbaum went on to become Negid Bank Yisrael. And those of you who live here know there's a Mevaker HaMedina today, Engelman, Matanyahu Engelman. That is Moshe Mandelbaum's son-in-law. And this is a family, Kulam Kedoshim, Tehodin, Tzadikim, Shomrei Torah, Mitzvah. Vic, Simcha, went on to get Smicha from Reitz. When you meet Simcha, he's in a senior citizens today, Tuvei Ha'ir. When you meet Simcha, do you know Simcha? He lived there, not far from you, not far from me, in between us. Simcha Mandelbaum, you thought he was born in Brooklyn, grew up in Brooklyn, a Dodger fan, the perfect Brooklynese English. 8th, 9th, 10th generation Israeli, Dorei Dora. But he grew up during the mandate. When he finished army, he was a well-to-do family. They sent him to New York to Yeshiva University. Then, after he got smicha, he went to Harvard. He's a lawyer. Now, Simcha Mandelbaum married a girl from Brooklyn, Malka, and perfect English. It took me a while to recognize Moshe has an accent in his English. But Simcha? Wow. I said, where did you get this English? He said, it wasn't easy. When I came to YU, I stood in front of a mirror and spoke to myself, and I corrected every nuance and accent. All right, perfect. Why am I telling you, Scotty? What do I care? Scotty, Simcha has among his children a son, Alexander Aryeh. Alexander Aryeh also went back to America, studied in Ney Israel. He came back many years ago in Israel. He is a giant in brachot. He published the Sefer, V'zot HaBracha, dealing everyone in every yeshiva. It's the best Sefer with all the sources and what brachot to make, and he deals with She'urim. Now, V'zot HaBracha is a big Sefer. He published a smaller kuntres, Luach Brachot, and in the Kundris, he deals with many of these questions, halacha lemaisa. And here, if you turn to page 32, but by the way, the Mishnah Brura that I quoted with the addendum and the 200 and the, what was it, 30 gram, it's the Dershu edition. Dershu edition. Dishu Hashem V'Uzo. Dishu Hashem V'Uzo. It's and it has on every page of the Mishnah Brura one a similar page of commentary. You look into Mandelbaum, Alexander Aryeh's Sefer V'Zot HaBracha, page 32. Pizza, if it's made out of dough and water, hamotzi. No? How many of you make hamotzi on pizza? No matter how small it is, nothing to do now. This is regular bread. Ah. What do they do? And here Jack will enlighten you. They make pizza with apple juice. They use fruit juice. If it's made with fruit juice, then it is mizonat. However, if you eat two slices, that already is koveya suda. Evidently, it's 230 gram. Then it is a motzi. No, when you go into a pizza shop, what bracha do you make? All over Flatbush. What's the sign on the wall? One piece, mizonat. Two pieces, netila jadayim v'hamotzi. Jack told me something very fascinating. He was in Toronto, where he comes from. And in Toronto, one of the Rabbonim HaMakshirim told him, Mashgiach Kashrut we're talking about, okay. One of the Mashgiach Kashrut told him that outside of one place, you have to make a motzi all over. Why? Very interesting. And he's right, I thought about it. One place uses apple juice.
Natural.
Natural. Real juice. All the other places use concentrate. I buy for Pesach, my wife likes orange juice. I get orange juice. Kosher Pesach. Frozen. Concentrate. Allah Hashgacha say Dachar. It's made in Givat Brand, but the kibbutz is not even from. But the Hashgacha is Eidah Charedit. Not that I need it, but it has a Rabbanut Hashgacha, Eidah Charedit Hashgacha. Now, how do you make it? Elliot, what do? You want a glass of orange juice? You take a spoon, dig out two spoonfuls, and you add cold water. You add spritz to it, right or wrong. Now, what do you have? Do you have fruit juice, or do you have water that happens to have a little fruit juice in it? A little tamtzit in it, I'm losing my English, the essence, a little essence in it, but it's really water. So I go, I don't know, this has to be checked out. But you see, this is the halacha. If you have two rindings, be mekadosh on them. Figure out if you reach a half pound. I don't know, I doubt if two rindings are a half pound, but I can tell you four certainly are. There are other viewpoints too. It could be you can count in the other food you're eating. It could be also the Kviat Suda helps too. It's not so simple. But Me'ika Hadin, if you have 230 gram, Netilat Yadayim, and a Motzi. Now, I just want to show you one more page, 172 in the Zot HaBracha. And here, he comes out totally on the side of the YU Rashi Yeshiva, shooting down all the Hasidic Hashgachas. And what does he have on 172? Kruz, be Indian Lachmaniyot Mizonot. And I'll read it and I'll translate into English automatically. It's in Hebrew. It's customary today that they make dough mixed with fruit chips. And they sell it with the label Bracha Borei Minei Mizonot. And he says, and the crew says, but most people use this as a regular meal. They're Koveya Suda. They're just using this instead of bread. And if this is the so, if it's even Mizonot, but it becomes Hamotzi. And then he alludes to what you said, Jack. Rov Pamim Eino Kein, it's not really fruit juice. It's concentrate mixed with water. Adayin halachmaniyot chayavot benetilet yadayim hamotzi bichat hamazon. Because you're eating enough bread that most people are koveya suda and what you are eating. And he says, when they do this at weddings, malava malka, or in airplanes, when for sure you're being koveya suda, michshol l'rabim. Very interesting. Who signs it? Harav Avraham Bick. Rav Avraham Bick has to be a son of Rav Moshe Bick, the great posek from the Bronx. Rav Moshe was no longer alive at this time. Harav Reuven Feinstein. Tell me, who was Harav Reuven Feinstein? Rav Moshe's youngest son, my sidekick. I yet knew him. I knew his late wife from Bnei Akiva. I still remember when they got engaged. Yitzchak, you were in Boston, but this is Bnei Akiva, the east side. And people were saying, what, Rav Moshe's son gets engaged to a girl in Bnei Akiva, and her father was a Rav on the east side. And Rav Moshe said, what's the matter? The kids are Shema Torah Mitzvah, they're committed, and a fabulous marriage worked out, and she was a very successful lady. She became principal of a general high school. Am I right, Vic? Elementary school, all right, I stand corrected, but she was... Sheila Kaplan. That was the name. Her father was Rav Kaplan from the east side. So Rav Reuven signed. He should live and be well. Wonderful. Rav Moshe's two sons. I know all four children. Two sons. Very edel people. Rav David Fine. Am I right or wrong, Vic? Rav David, you know, Edelkite. Rav Moshe raised the Rebbetzin. Give the Rebbetzin credit. She raised four wonderful children. Harav Moshe Heinemann, no? Yitzchak, who's that? Baltimore. Heinemann, his Heksha, one of the big Heksherim today. Harav Moshe Stern, the Demritzer Rav, right? Also was involved in Hashgacha and Adam Gadol. Harav Yisrael Belsky, no? Who are we talking about, Vic? Terev Adas Rosh Yeshiva. Harav Avraham Blumenkrantz, no? Do you know who we're talking about, Isaac? Or Far Rockaway, the Posek, Rabbi Blumenkrantz, his son took over. They publish every year before Pesach, right? The volume like this, if you go through it, you wind up, you're not going to get anything on Pesach. But that's a different story. But here, wow, so it's a very fascinating topic. So Halakha L'maisa, I would agree with the Psak that if you're Koveya Suda on two ringdings, devil dogs, and if you want to be a tzaddik l'choladarat, eat another two. If you eat four of them, there's not much room to eat much else, but you can eat and be tzareif, and your Koveya Sutta, and it's Hamotzi, and your Yotzei, and it's a Bidi Avad, but it is an Eitza. Now, one step further, and it deals with Yitzchak's question. Watch, let me just find where I am. The sources, one second, let's put this... I put it on top of the Mishnah Halacha, which is not good. I always get confused with all these sheet holders. Where are, here it is. This. Give me one second. The Rav used to waste time sending someone to get the Sefer. I have to waste time getting my Xerox sheets back into the right holder. This right sleeve is the word we use in English. Yitzchak. Then he goes further. And he forget about Pat Habab Bekinson. But what about if, let me find, what about if all he had were pieces of bread? He got stuck, he couldn't go out to buy challahs, to buy rolls. He thought he had matzah in the house. I always tell people, keep your matzah left over from Pesach, keep it around in case one time you need lechem mishnah, you can always pull out a matzah or two. Alright? And all he has is sliced bread. Could you imagine? What do you do? How did... So you should know, some of the Achronim say very simply, sliced bread doesn't count. Doesn't count. It's not a lechem. It's not shalem. It's not pot in the sense that it's complete. It's untouched. It's not cut. And there are other achronim that bidi avad, if all you have is pat prusavi ein lo shleimot, that you will be yotzei. And better to use slices of bread than to make kiddush on beer, whiskey, sheikhar, something that's kama medina. Wine is first, bread is second, b'diyeved, even if you have slices of bread. Halacha lemaisa, these chaylas have come up, halacha lemaisa, if a place has endless sliced bread, they buy it and it's sealed, lachatchila, you can take two packages and use the two packages which are totally sealed, where the bread is all together, that's almost as good as an uncut challah. It's not as good, but it's second. If you don't have that, then b'diavad, take two slices of bread and make kiddush over the two slices. If you don't have two slices, b'diavad, and Reb Menashe Klein brings the achronim, you can be samachan, even on one piece of bread, even on a prusa achat, you could still make kiddush. Better than on kama medina. Very, very fascinating. Okay, so that's kiddush. And once again, I stand on what I've said. Wine, bread. Bread divides up into various levels. Bidiyavad, bidiyavad. If you have no wine and no bread, bidiyavad, hold a cup of beer in your hand, a cup of liquor. I'm not yet ready to talk about soda. We'll get there in detail. That's bidiyavad. Okay. What about Havdalah? What about Havdalah? Now, if you recall, this was the original question. This guy who's writing to the Mishnah Halachat is asking him about Havdalah. What about milk? What about tea? And here you get involved with the whole concept of Chama Medina. What does it mean? And we'll see clearly. It's not so simple to define Chama Medina. L'chatchila, it should be something that has some strength to it from the point of view of alcohol. When we talk about drinks, the ultimate drink is alcohol. And I believe I told you, I told some of you before class, I was at this reunion. The reunion was in a very well-to-do home, class of 69. I can tell you the home we were in is the home that made Jack very wealthy. Do you understand what I just said? When I came in Aliyah, Katamon was considered the end of the world. My wife and I still remember the Moroccan women sitting on the steps before Pesach and sorting out the rice. They had a white tablecloth in front of them, and they were sitting and sorting the rice like they did in Morocco from time immemorial. Ashkenazim didn't go near Katamon. That's not a neighborhood for white Jews like us. I can tell you a story, and you got to be very careful what you say to people. Rabbi and Mrs. Lewittis were walking in Katamon. This goes back almost 50 years. And they were visiting Shishaya Leibowitz's brother, who was a very famous medical doctor, who Taka lived in Katamon. And as they're walking there, they meet Tova Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, Dr. Tova Soloveitchik Lichtenstein. And this before they moved there. They lived on Brody. And they say to Tova, where are you going in this God-forsaken place? Those are the words they use, God-forsaken place. Anyway, in the late 80s, a very well-to-do family, one part of the family from Denver, one part from the Upper West Side, built a beautiful home a half block from a dilapidated shtibel, a dilapidated mikveh, Rehov HaMatzar. And wow, people saw they built a home there. We can live in Katamon. Today, do you want to live in Katamon? Eli, Millionaire's Row. And you owe it to the home I was in. I was just there. Got me, Jack? Just there. You know what I mean. What a family. Oh, boy. So here, little Lonnie Rothkopf is speaking, a guest of honor, a Rebbe from the 60s, some of these, my Talmidim from MTA, from BMT afterwards. And boy, you should have seen the food, opulence, every type of liquor, beautiful scotch, salty crackers, herring. All I wanted was a piece of chocolate cake. But you see, this is covered. What, your first name? Your first name?
David.
David. David or David, which do you, what does your wife call you?
David.
If you can say it publicly, what she calls you. David. David. All I wanted was a piece of chocolate cake. Ah, give me a little soda, my taste of brunch, I'm a simple kid. Ah, but this is Hama Medina. This, people, a Kiddush club in shul. You understand what I have seen in Toronto and elsewhere? Rebbeinu Shel Olam, on one little Kiddush, on one bottle, $75, and everyone, oh, they're licking. Oh, so Hama Medina, that's the hand. But more than that, it has to be something chashuv, chashivot, a little intoxicating. Also, something that everyone uses. In other words, it has to be in the norm. This is chashuv. I'm going to my Rebbe's house, I'm bringing him a bottle of schnapps. The doctor just did an operation, I'm bringing him a beautiful bottle of chocolate liqueur. Stuck chocolate liqueur. It's, to me, the best in the world. Funny, something, not just what you think, what the populace thinks. You'll see, this is what I'm saying to you is halacha l'maisa, but I'll get there black and white. Yes, Ellie?
Why is it that alcohol content makes it significant?
Makes it what?
Significant.
If you can't understand that, my friend, don't read the newspapers. You see the advertisements, You go on, you see what's going on the radio, two bottles of Chivas Regal, you're leaving the country, go in, buy, shop, do, liquor. You know what the liquor meant? So now let me tell you something. I never thought I could reveal this publicly. I was very, very poor in the 70s, 80s. I was offered many jobs with big titles, and I would have had a car and whatnot with it. You know, the works. I turned it all down. I only wanted to remain in learning and Machadesh, and I didn't want to have responsibilities to raise money, to throw kids out of the school. You understand what I'm saying? It's not me. Was I right or wrong? I hope I was right. Thank God. I don't think I could have ever published The Rav and published Washington and some other publications. Could have never done it. You have to concentrate. Suddenly, I have thousands of dollars in my pocket. We're going to Russia, and, you know, the Mossad and yours truly got along very well. We both appreciated each other. So the boss gives me, this is now my middle trip, 85. Boss gives me thousands of dollars. The instructions are to meet with Tanya Edelstein and go into the Beryuska, that's the foreign currency shop, buy whatever she wants. She should use as bribes to the jailers that they should be nice to Yuli and let them bring in with what she's bribing them kosher food as well. In London, the people from the Mossad gave us endless hard cheese. If they gave you salamis, it was useless because it would be confiscated by the KGB people where you came in. Like, with some baloney story, they were confiscating it to eat it themselves. You understand what I'm saying? But they give you some baloney. But cheese, hard cheese already didn't appeal to them. It's not like a good salami. So, and other things, whatever they gave me in London, all right. Why did we go into the Beryuska? What did we buy? Tanya Zichrona Livracha. Good liquor. When you show this to a jailer, it's the greatest bribe in the world. Do I have to answer? Liquor. Intoxication.
Yeah, we're Jews.
1 second. We're Jews. This is our biggest problem with Kiddush today, that we take it too seriously, the kids. But we're human beings. Vodka.
Now, what does the halacha view it as significant?
What is the halacha of?
Why does the halacha view it?
Because you need chama medina, something significant. Something significant. There's not a glass of water. We'll see. Wait till we get to Reb Moshe. You'll see. But that's the pshat. And I have to tell you, the liquor, and this is all liquor. Again, you don't start to appreciate this. In Russia, all you could buy was vodka. There was nothing of the brandies and the whiskies and everything in the world. A bottle of scotch? You have no idea what this meant. All right? There was vodka. Russia had a tremendous problem with the communist drunkenness. It's a very cold climate. You drink to keep warm. There's no God. There's no prayer. There's no meaning to life. It's just serve the country, serve the people, serve the homeland. Why did people drink? Sunday, when they were off, you have no idea how many drunks there were on the street. This is why near the hotels, they swept anyone drinking was swept away. They didn't want the tourists to see all the drunks out on the streets. Until today, and Russia's a million times better, vodka is still a problem. All right. But that's human beings. You can't... Why do we love chocolate? Why do Jews love coffee? Jackie Mason. Jackie Mason's vote, when the goyim go out of the show, go out of the movies, go out and say, where do we get a good drink, good liquor? And the Jews looking, where do I get a cup of coffee and a piece of chocolate cake? You follow? But these are human traits, thank God, until today. I love chocolate. Thank God I'm not diabetic. I can have chocolate now. They came out, Mufkat 30%. That's a big achievement here in Israel. The new, and it's very good. You can't tell the difference, basically, between the new chocolate, the elite chocolate I'm talking about. And if they did it in Israel, the whole world will have to follow, because this is healthier. All right. But coming back here, what do you do for Havdalah? And of course, the person asking the question quoted the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan said milk and tea you can also use if you have nothing else. Now, milk and tea, to the best of my knowledge, although some of the Rachmonim say that you can get drunk on milk, I don't believe it. But milk and tea, is it chashev, isn't it chashev? Gentlemen, this is a machloikis ha-poiskim that exists until today. How do you judge it? Someone comes to your house, what do you honor him with? You say to him, here, hard liquor, absolutely honoring him. Beer, absolutely honoring him. Would you say to him, here, have some milk. You know what he'll say to you? What? I don't have ulcers. Why are you giving me milk? The Rav had an ulcer. He drank a lot of milk. That's the famous story. My Talmidim, who was Shamashim in the late 70s, early 80s, where the Rav says, I need another quart of milk. Give him a dollar, whatever. Go buy a quart of milk. And the students then are ready to swing to the right. They're whispering behind his back. What does he mean? What kind of milk? Do we have to get Chalav Yisrael? Not what God. And the Rav turns around, he evidently heard them, said, get me a quart of milk, Delwood milk, with an O-U-D. A quart of Delwood, right? He solved their problem. Would you honor someone with milk? Would you honor someone with tea? Tea could be. Tea could be is better than milk. And this, I can tell you, I heard from my Shanghai Rebbeim, that Reb Chaim Moshe, towards the end of his life, when the war broke out and everything was happening and he's in Vilna and all the yeshivas are there and they desperately need money and there's shortages of everything, the Nazis on one side, the communist Russians on the other side, Reb Chaim Moshe made Havdalah on tea. Halacha l'maisa. Reb Chaim Moshe Gazinsky made Havdalah on tea. However, you see, Reb Menashe Klein's mind works very innovatively, he says. I have a lot of trouble accepting this, because my father, and he quotes his father, who was the Rav in Hungary, my father said, Shelo lahavdil al hachalav ote klal. My father said he can't accept the Aruch HaShulchan. The overwhelming majority of Achronim say tea and milk are too common, too pedestrian. It's not something chashuv. If I have a guest coming to my house, Herbie, I gotta honor him. And milk and tea, he'll laugh in your face. Maybe coffee is a little better
maybe
than tea.
Maybe you like liquor, maybe he doesn't like it.
I'll say that. No, give him brandy.
If you gave it to me, I'd say
that. Give him liqueur. No, but most people will say, for milk and tea, you would say thank you.
Yes.
But most people would feel. And your crowd?
I think that some teas are very expensive.
No, not beside that. I have chocolate tea. I haven't touched it. It's too expensive. Okay. But so look what he paskins. This is Reb Menashe Klein now. Yeah, no, I understand. And in England, what are you talking about? In England, 4 o'clock, the Queen, tea, everyone, biscuits, crumpets, tea. It's part of English society. There, in England, to me, it would seem double pashit you can make Havdalah on tea. Not beside the we will, believe me, we're going to reach that conclusion, but not yet. We have to go through Soda yet. It's a bit. Now, so you know what he paskins? Listen to this. Ulefi anividati. The misha hu b'makam shein lo sham mashke. The enem itzapreshe yavilo. You're stuck. You're in a place where you don't have hard liquor. No one's going to bring it. You know what you do? You told koshchalavate v'yavdil alav b'shein v'mal b'li shein v'malchut v'yatneshim yavilo achakach yayin yavzov yavdil b'shein u'malchut came near lafiyunati. But what he's saying is very simple. Gentlemen, I'm responsible for the Shabbos elevator in my house. It's about 50 years now that I have to turn it on. I have to turn it off. To be exact, it's 48 years, because there was a person, the lawyer, who was the lawyer for the Kablan. So for the first 2 years, he took care of it, and then he made more money, more money. He was a lawyer, and all the Americans coming in were using him, and he moved to a bigger house. He's no longer alive, but a very interesting family. So for 48 years, I'm responsible for the elevator. So I look at my watch. I have to check where the elevator is, how I'm going to turn it off. No, I'm going to do malacha. Let's say I haven't davened yet. What do I say? Baruch hamavlu mikodesh lachol, ben alachot yisub, ben yom yishvidlo, sheshet yamei hamaaseh. What do we tell our wives when they have to light candles, yontif sheni? Before you light the candles, you have to say Havdalah. Fine. So that you said Havdalah, Havdalah b'tfilah. We're going to come to all this with all the sources. No? Make Havdalah. How do you make Havdalah? Make a bracha on the tea, make a bracha on the milk, and then say, without shame v'malchut, Birchat Hamavdil. And if 10 o'clock at night, or maybe 9 o'clock Sunday morning, or Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, someone comes and brings you wine, milk, then make a bracha again, a Birchat Hanenin, and then make Hamavdil b'shem v'malcha. That's what he would like to paskin.
Who's
the Reb Menashe Klein. He gives the Zaitza to solve the problem. Here, the Yoruch HaShulchan says, tea or milk, bidiavad. You can make a bracha on it. You can make Havdalah. His father and other Achronim say, absolutely not. What do you do if you're stuck? You're traveling. This is all you have. Make a Birchat Hanenin, and then say, Amavdeh Mikadosh L'chol Bein Ola Choshech. And if by chance you have wine later that night or the next morning, or for that matter, it would seem to me, Monday, Tuesday as well, there you make a brachat hanenin again, and then hamavdil b'shem v'malchut to be yotzei, the chazal will metaken al kos shel bracha. Very, very fascinating. Okay? One step further. What was the other question this person asked? Fruit juice. Now, fruit juice, as Jack said about the pizza, we have to differentiate. Is it from concentrate or is it real fruit juice? Tell me, you go into a restaurant and they ask you, what do you want to drink? And I have some friends, wealthy friends, go into fancy places and they tell them, fresh orange juice, fresh grape juice. What else do you have, juices? Fresh. Unbelievable. These juices cost a lot more than milk, a lot more than tea. Could be they even cost more than beer. Beer is very cheap in this country. Even the imported beer. Zeal, like water, perhaps. I don't know. Pellegrini water may cost more than a bottle of beer here. Mm-hmm. What about fruit juice? And here too, he quotes the Rishonim, the Beit Yosef, quoting the Rishonim, the Gemara in Pesachim, that what is Sheikha? And one of the things the Gemara talks about is tamarim, dates. And why it dates? It seems dates has some intoxicating power. But maybe there's another reason. Date juice was highly respected. Everyone drank it. It was a mashke chashuv. If this is the case, fruit juice, orange juice. He uses the word tapuzim, and in parentheses, orange, transliterated, sof-sof, b'nei medina shotim oto v'havile chama b'dina. And he says, people, fruit juice, everyone uses it, orange juice. Israel, famous for orange juice. And if this is the case, maybe absolutely you can use orange juice, grapefruit juice, strawberry juice. This is chashuv. People treat it with respect. Is it intoxicating? I don't know. But that it's treated with respect, that people use it, that people aren't a guest with it, you should be able to make Havdalah over such items. And here he goes one step further, that, tell me, before Havdalah, are you allowed to drink? What are you allowed to drink? Shabbat ended. Shabbat is definitely over. And what are you allowed to drink? And there's a whole machloket from the Rishonim. The Nimuke Yosef says that before Havdalah, you're not allowed to drink any type of liquid that you can make Havdalah on. And if this is the case, what does he mean? You can't drink beer, you can't drink brandy, you can't drink any liquid that is eligible for Havdalah. And if this is the case, it shows you that according to the Nemuka Yosef, all these type of liquids outside of water, you can't drink. It means you can make Havdalah on all of them. The only thing that you can drink is water. And why can't you drink water? Well, the only thing you can drink is water. And why can you drink water? Because you can't make Havdalah on water. But it shows you that all these other drinks, you would be allowed to make Havdalah on. And that would include orange juice, grape juice, listed out, even grape juice that's not yayin anymore. You can go and list out endless drinks that we serve important company, that we honor people with. So that's halacha lemaisa. He seems to indicate that orange juice you can make Havdalah on. So we've come a long, long way. Milk and water, still a machloiket, not as chashuv as the other drinks, but everything else, 100% you can make Havdalah on. And he brings a very big proof to this. I'll show you in a second. Yes, Yitzchak.
I see that they didn't mention coffee at all.
No.
I think the reason is historical, but they didn't have it in these two.
Could be, could be, could be.
You have a cup of coffee.
Could be.
You make Havdalah and a cup of coffee.
If you can make an orange juice, I would be inclined to say you can make on coffee. It's chashuv. It's more chashuv than tea for the general populace. But dachronim, it's interesting. Coffee doesn't come up. Tea, milk, orange juice, coffee doesn't come up. But it could be, you're absolutely right. But halacha lemaisa, if you make havdalah on tea, you can certainly make him coffee. I think coffee is more chashuv than tea. Okay, I want to...
excuse me. All those drinks you've mentioned are not as chashuv as water. Water is the liquid of life.
We spoke about that. We spoke about that.
That's not true.
Yes.
No.
What do you drink when you get up in the morning? Water.
Whether you
hydrate yourself.
Of course.
Okay. Herbie, it's not something you honor someone when they come into your house. But we'll come to it. Rip Moshe, relax.
It is very.
Herbie, next time we're going to come to Rip Moshe, Feinstein deals with your very problem. I want to go one step further. I want to give you one more source, a very, very important source. And here I want to tell you something. We suffer, the contemporary Torah scene and Lubavitch with the Messianists creates problems for us. What do I mean creates problems? I've gotten recently a number of communications, one anonymous, why I'm so enthralled with Chabad, so impressed with Chabad. And it's a real problem. I wrote back to this anonymous person. I hope it'll reach him. I told Sherry to use the email number which had arrived. I wrote back that anyone who thinks the Rebbe was Mashiach is an absolute amoritz. I gave the source in the Rambam Hilchot Melachim, what Mashiach has to accomplish, and the Rebbe did not accomplish it. If you want to talk of people who were alive and no longer alive, who could have been Mashiach, so when I started teaching in Michalah in 1971, the faculty consisted of giants of Torah and Yirat Shemayim and knowledge. One of the people I taught with was Reb Shlomo Minhahar. I trust you recognize the name. He was the first one to write a sefer dealing with Hilchot Tzava, what you can do in the army, what you can't do in the army. He was the Rav of Bayit Vagan. He came from a very Chosheva family. Minahar is a Hebraized name. He came from a very Chosheva family from the old city, Dorei Dorot of Israelis living in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Shlomo Minahar said to his class, the girls walked out, told him the Israeli girls walked out. They were astounded. He said that if Moshe Dayan would be from, he could very well be Mashiach. And he read the Rambam to them. Look up the Rambam. You have to conquer, conquest, Amalek, build the country, Beit HaMikdash, etc., etc. No one did more towards those goals than Moshe Dayan. All right? When the girls told me that, I was a little shaken up, and then I thought about it. Well, there's something to this, what the man did. Forget what happened after the Yom Kippur War. We're talking before the Yom Kippur War.
After the Six-Day War.
You mean he gave the keys already then, all right? I know, we're talking about... absolutely no concept of Yiddish kind of Torah, but he did great things. But Elliot, don't give up. His nephew is a Yira Tzadik, General Uze Dayan, who now heads up, the gambling, the government gambling, what's the word? The Toto, whatever they call it. The lottery. That's his nephew. He was a major general in the IDF. His nephew, Dayan's nephew, became a Shemesh Shabbos and Tarat Mishpacha. You should hear the way the man spoke. No Rav spoke as intelligently as his nephew. It all came about when he was in the army. When you're going up the rank, the army wants you to get a master's. So they give you a year off to get your master's, which they pay for. I know this. My grandson, his whole college was paid for. Now he has to leave the army 7 years. At a certain point, if he remains in the army, after 7 years, he will get a master's on the army's account. So he met a girl there getting a PhD. That girl was from our world, and the impact she had on him, I hear him speak, he's just fabulous. So don't give up the battle. But anyway, listen carefully. So people, you know, they had this attitude. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was a great individual. Don't misunderstand me. You know my feelings towards him and my 2 years of lectures. But Mashiach, he wasn't. And I, when he was alive, in every generation, I've given much Torah on this. Yes, it's an open Gemara in the 11th Perek of Sanhedrin. It's an open Gemara that in every generation there's someone who perhaps could be Mashiach. There's no question he was a great individual. But the Messianists, in my humble opinion, are a minority. The majority are normal. My Talmidim, who are my Talmidim, met at me last year. I was in Venice, and the only minyan you have in Venice during the week is a Messianic Chabad minyan, and I davened with the minyan. And my Talmidim Chabadnikim said, Rebbe, we wouldn't have davened with the minyan. We would have davened the Yechidit, not to daven with that character there. But all right, I made the cheshbon. I couldn't believe they're all Messianists there, but they look normal, nice, learning. But you can be perverted. But I want to tell you something. The Soloveitchik family had tremendous derech eretz for Chabad. And you got to remember, we're talking the first Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman, who we just celebrated, Yitzhak Kislev, was a gon adir. It's not just the Tanya. His Shulchan Aruch HaRav, they say Reb Chaim had it on his work table. And they felt when you opened up the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the lumdus that went into it, he was second to none, the Derech Eretz. I remember Chaim, my classmate, the Professor Grach, as they call him, Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, he wrote about it in his famous work on Rupture and Reconstruction. I think it's now 20 or 25 years since that appeared. They say a new edition is going to come out with emendations by Reb Chaim.
The Rabban of the Monitor of the class.
No, we know that they were in Berlin together.
Now, but Neir Zalman, they used to call him Senor Shlomo.
Wait, who's Schneer Zalman?
The founder,
but not the Rebbe is Reb Menachem Mendel, but his great-great-great-great-grandfather is from Schneer Zalman Mila'adin. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is a classic sefer of Psak. So I want to end off the class, Reb Menashe Klein quotes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. We'll come back next week too. It's very fascinating. But here I just want to end off the class what he has to say. Hilchat Shabbat, Reish Tzadi Vav, Sif Katan Chet. So very interesting. And this may also, you see here an indication of what Yitzchak just said. Aval Madilin Al Kol Mashke, Shehu Chama Medina, Chutz Min Hamayim. And he explains, yes, of course, it's a hidden mitzvah to make havdalah in wine. And wine is most important. But avolim ein yayan bebeito, av sheyeshno etzel hachenvani, ein tzarich liknoto. And this may be just what Yitzhak said. It's a reflection of life. Not everyone was that wealthy. We live in a blessed time in a blessed land. Wine here is not expensive. But these are Jews in White Russia. These are Jews in the ghetto. These are Jews in the Pale of Settlement. Yes, wine is a mitzvah lachatchila. And wine is readily available. The store down the block has it. You're not obligated to buy the wine, even though it's a mitzvah min hamufcha, and you can make havdalah on chama medina. And this is the psak of the Alter Rebbe. One simon later, one sif later, tet, very fascinating, vafilu em yesh lo kos yayin she'enem alei, the kosmale sheikhor shamashke chama medina tov yoter lahavdil al hayayin in einu pagun. And watch that if you have two kosot in front of you, you have a little wine left from Shabbos, but it doesn't fill the kos. You all know that chila, when you make kiddush, the kos has to be filled. How much filled I've seen people, they pour and they pour over. I look at them. The Mishnah Berurah already says it doesn't have to be over the top. It's not Avdallah. Avdallah, we have a minute. We spill a little wine. Okay. Mela. But kiddush, the kos has to be filled. Filled means within reason. It can be a centimeter less than the top. You hold the kos, you start shaking, you start, you know, swaying, shuckling. So you're right. You're going to say you don't want it to spill out. But you have a kos, half a kos. That's all the wine you have left. If that kos isn't pagur, means if it wasn't drunk from before, you make havdalah over that kos. Lachatchila, the kos is better than chamam bedina, even if it's pagum. But watch what happens.
Even if it's pagum?
No, the kos is better than a full kos of chamam bedina, is long labriyut, as long as it's not pagum. As long as it's not pagum. Now, then he goes one step further, and here too, Yitzchak may be right. Watch, avol imhu pagum be inyan she ifshel taknom dikimho al yedainetinak mat mayim betocho kigon shehu mazug to mayim kva karui be inshin yasif olaf maat mayim betocho yitkalkel. Olai us tof yokela habdila a meshka chama medina she'ena pagum. And watch, look what's happening here. He has half a cup of wine. It's pagum. Tell me, what's a minig? We drank from wine, the coast, half the coast is left over. We want to put it back in the bottle. What do we do? Lachat chila. From the bottle, we pour into the coast, take away the pigima, and pour it back into the bottle. All right, so we add wine to wine. We add grape juice to grape juice. Tell me, what about adding water? That will take away the pigima. Absolutely. But there's a problem. If you add too much water, you dilute the wine that it no longer has a chalois of yayin. It's just plain, simple grape juice, not grape juice that's kosher l'kiddush, but grape juice that you make a shahalk bracharan. Aren't there bottles of grape juice sold here? Some of them have fizz and whatnot. Shahakal, it says on the label, Eda charedit bracha shahakal. Look what the wine was in those days. Look what the Rav Shulchan Aruch just said. You got to be sure that there's not too much water in the wine from before. It shows you, number one, at the time of Chazal, they always watered down the wine because it was too sharp, it was too intoxicating, too strong. So, as long as it remained strong, it was good wine. We make grape juice. Grape juice has to have a certain amount of alcohol to still be considered borei pri hagafen. And here, the Rav Shulchan Aruch is choshesh that the wine is already watered down so that you cannot add water to it. What does that show you, Yitzchak? Late dinero. No money. They didn't have money. They watered down the wine. It had to go further. And wow, you're seeing life dance before your eyes. And this is the Rav Shulchan Aruch. So once again, and again I say, people, when you quote things from Chabad today, they always have a smirk on their face. And we and why you suffer from it, because some of our leading rabbeim have this attitude, and I've spoken with them privately, but I've gotten absolutely nowhere. They have this attitude that every Chabadnik is a Mashiachist. And I always say to them, look, many people believe the Rebbe could have been, but today no one believes anyone who has Seichel, anyone looks at the Shulchan Aruch, and it says Hilchot Malachim, the Rebbe was a great, great Jew, but I don't believe that someone can be Mashiach in Brooklyn It's all in Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim. My Talmud Gil student, Rabbi student, wrote a whole kuntris quoting. You're familiar with it, quoting the Rambam, quoting, and he's absolutely right. But it doesn't mean we're anti-Chabad. Chas v'chalila, they do wonderful things. They do great things. They, without Chabad, the Jewish world would be very, very impoverished today. And thank God how many people became Balei Tshuva from Chabad. It's not to be minimized. But this is the Alter Rebbe. So you see, halacha l'maisa, kiddush havdalah, wine conquers all, wine is the most important. Bread is second to wine. It could be with bread, you can use ringdings and devil dogs and what have you, and sufganiyot, imagine what would go on, Hanukkah, and commenting on Sufganiyat, look at what's going on in the country. When we came in Aliyah, Sufganiyah was a plain, simple dough with a little jelly in it. And today, Ribbono Shel Olam, you can make a whole meal out of a Sufganiyah. It goes up three stories with 1,000 calories, with whipped cream and chocolate and pistachio and bananas. And Ribbono Shel Olam, it overtakes Dunkin' Donuts, take my word for it. Alright, you like Dunkin's, Tam V'Reich Ein L'Chit V'Keach. But then, after bread for Havdalah and B'Dievet for Kiddush, Chama Medina. Particularly with Havdalah, there's a lot more room l'hakel, but even with Kiddush, there's room l'hakel. But no one yet has ever said you can make Kiddush over milk or over tea. You follow their limits, how far you go. And Herbie, your questions will all be answered when we do with Rav Moshe Feinstein. But let me just finish. Even the Alter Rebbe, if you don't have wine for Havdalah, you're not obligated to go out and buy. And where you have half a cup of wine, if it's not pagum, make over half a cup of wine. And if you want to treat the pagima, elevate it, be sure it's not diluted so much before that you cannot add any water. See, that certifies what you said. And then, use mashke. As far as chalav and tea, machloket achronim, but I heard eidut nemana from eidei riya with no reason. This is mesichim lefi tumam. 70 years ago I heard this, that the Chaim Moshe made Havdalah on tea. Yes, Michael, what did you...
What happened during the 9 days with Shabbos? There's always a debate about Havdalah in terms of what you should...
That's a lot... If you have kids around, we use wine, and you give it to the kids to drink. That's
you use bread?
No, bread you can't use on Havdalah. Bread plays no role.
Orange juice.
Orange juice, it would be yotzei b'diavad. There's no question. But lachatchila, if we can use wine, we use wine. Before I go any further, first of all, I want to say tomorrow is a very, very important class. I go further what I said last week, and I'll have the Rav speak himself, not summarizing it, but I'll have the Rav speak. And then, once I'm finished with Mori Rebbe, I can shift into Rabbi Rachman. But the question that has to haunt you, was the Rav modern Orthodox? And if he was modern Orthodox, where did he stand in the spectrum? Think about what I just threw out to you.
Excuse
me?
Why do you have to put a label on?
Yeah, I'm talking popular language, because it's not a question. Now why? So people should understand what I'm talking about. But we're going to talk, there's a right wing, a centrist, a left wing. Once you leave the ghetto, you are challenged. And now think about the Rav. Then we'll deal with Rabbi Rachman Bezrat Hashem. Anyway, there was a very fine individual in my neighborhood. He died a few months ago, if not a few weeks ago. Menachem Yisrael Yanofsky, a Mizrahi, I believe he was a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he's coming out with a sefer in his memory. They're putting out a sefer of his Chidushei Torah. This is put out at the Shloshim. It deals with his take on the start of Bereshit. very innovative thinking. You will enjoy it. How he deals with a kind of hevel and the sin and a yetra. Very interesting. Then I have a question for you. I got this notice, Professor Robert Gedalia just died of Reitz, of the Smicha program. Who was he? I never... And he was a Talmud Chacham?
A lot of flair.
A lot of flair. Taught you how to speak. And they say his wife, Randy Davis Gedalia, was his partner.
Right. Yeah, I looked him up on the internet.
Yeah.
He made a business out of speaking. Speaking and how to attract an audience, how to develop.
Uh-huh. Gentlemen, I want to tell you honestly, there's only one way to learn how to speak. Come into my office, I have a time machine, we go into it, we go back to the 50s and we hear the Rav. Effie, you'll hear the Rav giving a Yotzeit. The problem is you that nicht verstehen ein Wort, because it's out in Yiddish, and it shows you you don't even start to know what Torah is about if you don't know Yiddish. Plain and simple. But boy, will you learn how to speak. Yitzchak, right or wrong, who taught us how to speak? Okay, so that's who I couldn't understand, Gedalia. Now, I'll tell you something very sad. You heard on the news that a brick fell down a building, a falling facade, and killed the lady. I believe it's on the Upper East Side. You know who was killed? Erica Tishman. That's from, this is from very elite, beautiful families. God, she was married into the Tishman, a very wealthy family that's given a fortune to Stakar.
The builders?
The builders, that's the family. She was married into the family. She died a 10-minute walk from the firm on West 52nd Street between 8th and 9th Avenue. So I'm wrong. It was on the Upper West Side. And I just want to see her maiden name here. Erica Lindenbaum. See the family she came from? That family ties in with Rav Avigdor Amiel. She married Stephen Tishman on June 20th, 1982. Three children, Adam, Stewart, and Julia. Boy, is that sad to be walking on a New York street. So it shows you we get upset in Israel when there are accidents. There are accidents all over the world. This is very interesting. Again, I've published on it. Yair Hoffman, Rabbi Yair Hoffman, who writes for the Jewish Times, Five Town Jewish Times, a halachic analysis if women are allowed to make a siyum on Shas. This is Halacha L'maisa. Next week gives you all the sources. Back to reality. Trump and Jewish nationhood. I have two pieces here, and it's just unbelievable. Trump, who has more knowledge and understanding of Yiddishkeit than 4 million American Jews, who attacks him, issues this wonderful reform rabbis. I can't believe what I'm reading there. This is very interesting. A hesped for Reb Chaim Briska from 1918. And this hesped is by a Reform rabbi. And here's an article on who this Reform rabbi was, Rabbi Eliezer Deutsch, later teaching in Hebrew Union College. I thank Chaim Snitzer from, I believe, Montreal for sending me this. It's really fascinating to see his take on Reb Chaim. Here, this makes me feel good. We're not the only one with sexual problems. Pope Francis abolished secrecy policy in sexual abuse cases. It means that all these sexual abuse cases in the Catholic Church can now be told to the police, if you wish. This is very moving. Orthodox Jewish community raises $50,000 for family of slain Jewish city detective. Joseph Seals, killed in Jersey City. I wonder if he did anything, why they're doing all this. Did he do anything to save Jews? Here
he
I want to...
He
shot the guy. If that's the case, but they killed him. They killed him. If that's the case, he deserves the $50,000. I want to mention, who hears from the Yisrael of Woodmere, Effie, anyone else? covet for the Yisrael of Widmeir in the massacre in Hanof when the Rav's grandson was killed, not Zainu, three of the five people killed, Lo Aleinu, the Druze policeman who was killed gave his life saving Jews. Your shul, if I recall, sent a gift of $25,000 for the family. Check with your father if it's 25 or more. This, I can't believe, this is Beverly Hills, the Iran synagogue desecrated beyond comprehension. This is something that everyone here has to deal with. The epic of the teens who keep half Shabbos, they can't get off their iPad, their phone, their little computer on Shabbos. God have mercy.
It's a disease.
A disease. It's sad. Disease. And this is about how Jews have made an imprint in the modern world. The psychological analysis of why we have Albert Einstein, Sarah Bernhardt, Sigmund Freud, and it all has to do with the Jews, anti-Semitism, proving yourself, etc. Very moving article about someone walks in to Chapel Hill, Molly Worth, Chapel Hill Bible Church on Sunday, and she describes the scene, but these people are interested, what would Jesus do about inequality? What can we do to bring economic justice? These people are concerned with good topics and trying to help. This is for anyone here who's well-to-do, if you want to contribute in honor of Reb Shlomo Riskin. They're dedicating a Sefer Torah to him, and they give you all Pashat Bereshit, $10,000. Pashat Noach, $10,000. Golden dedications, all of $30,000. Sefer Bereshit, each Sefer 30, each Pashat 10. This is a $75,000 dedication. Let me tell you, if that Sefer Torah gets all these dedications, they will have $1 million towards Rabbi Riskin's enterprises, which is fabulous. This is a very interesting article that for us sitting in this room who are a little older, they've now done research that older people can go through minor operations and it destroys their bodies. Their life ends within a year. They write here about a 70-year-old, an 80-year-old, and they give you case studies, which shows you the body is weaker. So that when something happens, it's not like a kid. David gets a cold, he rebounds. I had a cold 4 years ago. Since then, my nose leaks during the winter. Go and explain it. Finally, my dear Talmud Naomi Gold sent me a beautiful article, The Legitimacy of Jewish Settlements, you know, that we belong here, we're not guests. And finally, for Michael, I'm feeding, ultimately you get them to Efrat. No one knows that Rakefit is feeding all the Anglos here, all the books on baseball. I gotta thank my Talmud in America for feeding me. Unfortunately, I actually read these books. And let me just tell you, the one I gave you before on Ted Williams, that was a cipher. That was Hashiv. That was research. This is a memoir of Ron Darling. And let me tell you, he's a brilliant guy, but his language, I don't have to tell you, belongs in the basement. I never saw the language they use.
And then with spring training.
It's like walking.
Very nicely gave autographs.
No, he's a very, I have a full picture from with his autograph. The Talmud got it for me years ago, decades ago. But it's when you walk through the streets of New York, hear the way people talk, you gotta close your ears. There's one word begins with F, it's used as a noun, an adverb, an adjective, a verb, and it's like every second word. Ribbono shel Olam, a guy writes a memoir, it's not a Gottlieb Yisrael writing, alright, he's writing
a memoir.
He's a very bright guy, correct. Yale, yeah, he's a very bright guy. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's shiur for all the money that's being spent getting ready for the new election. Over $1 billion are going to be wasted. And all the religious Jews, I give Agudat Yisrael credit, they became united, and my world, four different parties, maybe uniting into two parties, and I just pray and hope for the best, but it is a sad reality. But Michael said. But anyway, we have to light candles tonight, and let's hope that the R will bring a little light to the Jews. We go from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, we're going up. Thank God we're Hasidim a little bit, not totally mitnagdim. Read Reb Heschel's article, and until we meet again tomorrow morning at 9:05 a.m., Das Vidanya, thank you so much for honoring me with your presence.
Thank you. Thank you,
Sameach. Ach, Chag Sameach, Chag Sameach. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Hold it.
Michael, this is not a fast, by the way.
David,
still good.
Let me get down your last name.
No, it's not a fast. Hanukkah is not a fast.
Still, my attendance will probably be based on whether I get a job.
I understand. That's all right. That's all right.
Cornbluth. K-O-R-N-B-L-U-T-H.
Okay, I had a Cornbluth as a balabas in Lower Merion Synagogue, 1961.
Really?
Any relation?
Maybe, not that I know of.
Not that you know of. When did your family reach America?
My mother was born in a DP camp in New Germany. She came, she was 3 in 1940 something.
I don't remember his first name, and I have to ask my wife.
My mother grew up in the Bronx.
Where?
So I asked her, because I didn't know exactly where. She gave me a whole description.
Give me an address.
I will tell you in one moment, so I can find it.
Give me an address.
She said, we started out in the Hasidus Shtetl across the street from our building. They lived at 1726 Davidson Avenue.
Your mother lived about 5 blocks from me, close to the Mount Eden Park.
She lived there from 1949
until
1968.
Right, that's where they all came in. That's where the Shangang cried once. Where did she go to school?
She went to Bronx Heights.
Where did she go to elementary?
That I don't know.
Did she go to Beck Miriam?
I'm not sure. She didn't give me that detail.
And she went to Bronx High, but she was Shomeret Shabbat?
Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's my knowledge.
Tell your mother I was accepted in Bronx High, and I thought I would go there, and I accepted. And for 4 years, I got letters from them as if I was going there. You follow?
Yeah.
Wow. And your father, where is he from?
My father grew up in... he moved at some point, I'm thinking. Famous high school in... Maybe not Forest Hills.
Where did he go to high school?
I was thinking, 1 second.
Wait, he went to Yeshiva High? Or?
Yeah, he went to Yeshiva High School. Just blinking. Oh, he went to Torah Vadas.
They just celebrated 100 years. Was he involved in that celebration?
Not that I know of.
Where did he go to high school?
Is Torah Vadas not a high school? They don't have a high school part?
Yeah, Torah Vadas. And where'd he go after high school?
He went to City College.
And what did he major in?
Physics, but never did anything with it. I think he ended up going into programming.
Aha, interesting.
Okay. Making Aliyah in two or so weeks.
Fabulous. From where?
From the 5 towns, City.
Very nice, very nice. That's our future. Okay, 1 second, I have to... Effie, where's Effie? Okay, 1 second. I gotta deal with Yomo.